Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We've got a caller in the queue. Our chat room is open, and the number to reach us is 914-338-0164. Thought we were going to have to change it a couple weeks ago, so I'm glad it's remained the same. We've had the same caller number for the entire time we broadcast, so changing it would be, like, really annoying. Plus, the numerical energy of it. I don't even know if I've added it up. Have you, Neil?
No, I haven't.
Well, you know what? There's some things in there. I mean, I can't believe I've never looked at the phone number, but there's some things in there that are, yeah, I'd be not happy if we changed it. What else? Follow us. That's a good thing to do. You may join us on our social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, which I have to continue to post on. Facebook, I'm sorry, it's X, not Twitter. I forget every other show. Facebook, X, and those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. I don't know. Anything else? If you feel so inclined to donate to a cat who has been through the ringer, you can find that link on our page. It's a pretty sad story, and there's a long, long post about it by the owner, which really got to me today. So it's really sad what's happened to veterinary care in United States, and that it's so much about making a profit. Of course, veterinarians need to make money, and you know they go to veterinary school, they have to pay it off. But so much price gouging, it's horrible. Plus, people claiming they can fix things that they can't fix. A veterinarians that should have never taken on surgeries that they're not capable of doing. I mean, it's just outrageous. So you can find that link on our page if you want to donate. And, well, I guess it's time to take our caller. And I will be posting.
Something like that. I did. You're going around telling people that I did something I didn't do. No, I didn't do anything to Julie. No, I didn't.
Uh-oh.
What?
She's having a problem.
Well, yeah, we'll give her her privacy. But
yeah. Oh, boy.
So, yes, that's true. You know, whenever you can't help an animal, if you see an animal in stress, please. And donations to animal organizations, whether they're wild or domestic or abandoned, is always a good thing to do. So we're waiting for the caller, but in the meantime, we could discuss a little bit about energy. We always talk about energy, the energy
yes,
fields
you know,
around
it's
us.
It's Southern California Edison, PG&E.
Yeah. The thing about chakras is we tend to limit their scope. Because actually chakras, they're inside the body, but they put out an energy. And that energy expands not only around our astral field, or halo or aura, but then it goes out even further. So chakras have the ability to circulate enough energy and present it in such a forthright manner that it's like a fan. They spin, chakras spin, and they push out energy. So when you're getting a vibe about somebody, whether you can control the chakra, you want to put out a mental vibe or a sexual vibe or an emotional vibe, communication, whatever it may be, that that's what the chakra can do if you apply it enough to your thought process. You can actually not only push out energy, but push it out with a message. And that's something that we do throughout life, whether we know it or not, but we can consciously do it. And when you think about it, in life we put out vibration for food, babies cry for food. It's a vibrational physical thing. But chakras also have the ability through the thought process to send out a vibrational energy that can be translated specifically to the source of the chakra. And that can just be done by focusing on where the chakra is in your body, what the theme involves, and then visualizing and then assisting with proper breathing and energy through which you can send out the message you want. And oftentimes it works. The worst can happen, it won't work, but it's not going to do any harm. So it's something to think about in terms of the chakra system. And you can do this also in the attitude of influence, influencing the world.
Right.
So if you want to influence the world, you could do it through a chakra. You're really powerful.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the idea. Trying to, it's kind of where I'm at, trying to help this, you know, I've been really involved in this situation and trying to use my energy field to try to impact, you know, the doctors or people at the facility to have some kind of compassion and do something beyond their standard of care that they usually give, but you know. It's challenging when you're trying to put out that kind of energy. You're one person. You're trying to be powerful, and it's a big task. Starting with smaller tasks probably is better. Not that I haven't done that and been successful, but you know, in this situation, I really wanted to change it. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it amounts to metaphors too. There was a reference to Biden's speech that he gave, a fiery speech. Now the fire chakra would be the first chakra.
I don't know.
Chakras that fires all kinds of things. but when you're talking about that, you're talking about the chakra number 5 and chakra number 1. So that fire energy comes from the root system. And usually when we talk in a fiery manner, it's going down to our core, the essence of our energy. And usually when you get to the core, you get to father. You get the fire.
Well, the core of the sun is like
the core,
fiery.
The core of the earth is molten lava. It's hot. I mean, when you get to the energy of the root system of our own earth, the body, the chakra that's the hottest is the first chakra. And when we combine the energy of that root chakra now in symbolism, the root chakra, the things that really fire us up, and we combine it with speech, you could say you're giving a fiery speech. That's what that means. There's also the illusion that, you know, a dragon breathes fire. So if a dragon breathes fire, the thought that there are, whenever you have a monster, there's fire coming out of its mouth, or even in war, the flamethrowers and things like that, flame guns. It's the thought that the mouth and the sense of fire comes from within, exits out the mouth. But you could also consider the third chakra as being fire, like having fire in your stomach.
Yeah.
And usually when you say, I'm on fire, sometimes it's a sexual reference, or you're all warmed up to do something. So it's a word that applies to the energy source of the body that ultimately applies to the chakra itself. And that's a little lecture on fire, speech, and chakra systems.
Yeah, I tried to get in contact with our caller, but she did not answer, so she's obviously in the thick of it. You know, I'm kind of changing subject here, but, you know, there's a reference that you use a lot about people returning to the planet, and, you know, it's like leaving the stove on and you went to Europe. And you have to return all the way back and, you know, to turn off that stove when you're on that vacation. Anyway, we have several people. I mean, we have thousands of people on our Facebook network. And one of them, oh, God, this story, Neil, this person, I just saw it in the feed yesterday. So they were on their way to Egypt. And what ended up happening is, and, you know, you can see in the post prior to their takeoff, you know, very excited, Egypt vibes were going. They ended up in Egypt and didn't have their passports. No passports. Now, of course, they had to get on the plane with passports, and they had a layover in London where they had to present their passports and get boarding passes. And so it was, you know, in retrospect, this woman says, you know, we don't remember our passports being handed back to us, but they were like detained in Egypt for like 12 hours and then luckily allowed to go home, but missed their whole entire trip.
Yeah.
But it's kind of...
They left them at home with passports?
No, they brought them, but someone took... At some point, they went missing. So, you know, you have to, if you're boarding an international flight, you have to present your passport to get into, you have to present your passport even to get in the international part of an airport, I think, at this day and age. I mean, it used to not be like that. You could go anywhere in the airport until you had to get on a flight, but things are much more restricted. So, yes, you have to present your passport upon boarding a flight. And then they had a layover in London. And then they said that they did not remember when they presented their passports and their boarding passes, gave the boarding passes, that their passports were ever given back. You know, unfortunately, they weren't able to go, they weren't given the option of going to the embassy. I mean, if they'd been in a different country, maybe that would have been an option for them. I lost my passports abroad, it's very stupidly, by having my money belt open on it on a train. That was a very Christian thing to do, and our money and everything was stolen, but we were able to go to the embassy. This is in Amsterdam. We went to the embassy and got passports reissued, so it was very easy. But being in a country like Europe, I mean Egypt, it's much stricter, and they're not going to just let you in and let you talk to the embassy anyway. But it reminded me of that story.
Yeah,
that analogy.
Airports being accessible to the public. Well, when I was a little boy, my grandfather was psychic. We would drive down. He dropped us down to the L.A. airport, and we would park and go inside and watch the planes take off and land. And then he would say to me, we'd see people in the lobby, and he would say, okay, now you tell me psychically who that person is going to meet when the plane lands. And I would sit there looking at the person and go, oh, he's going to meet a woman and two kids. And my grandfather would say, okay, let's see if you're right. And then a woman and two kids would come and meet the person. And so he's always using different ways to train and educate me in the psychic realm. But he also, I would watch him. He'd just sit there staring at the planes landing and going, wouldn't say a word to me. And also, he did the same thing with trees. He would go in the backyard and stare at a tree and talk to it through astral language. He wouldn't be moving his lips. He'd just look at it and talk to it. And he would say, I'd say, what are you doing? He'd say, I'm talking to the tree. Don't you hear the tree? And I went, no, I was really young. I really don't know. He goes, well, listen. And then I did hear a voice. And he said, I'm going to write down on a piece of paper what the tree is telling me. And you tell me what you hear the tree is telling you. And he would write down something on a piece of paper. And then I would tell him what I thought I heard the tree saying. And it totally matched what was written on his paper. And I learned to talk to trees that way. Because I'd hear voices, but I didn't always know where they were coming from. So, and it proved to be right. I mean, we do that test over and over and over again. And I learned how to talk to trees. Well, you know, later in the hippie era, you know, people talk to trees, hug trees, and talking to trees was quite the fab thing to do, although it's been going on since the beginning of time, talking to trees, more or less the tree of life. And we, you know, we get into other people who talk to trees and had a communication with trees. Emerson, Thoreau, people that actually had a communication with trees. And then talking to plants, it all goes into that realm. But again, it's based through the chakra system, because our sixth chakra is able to dismantle, decode energy and revert it back into a human language through the process of converting the codes. So it's an interesting thing. You were talking about the attitude of being in an airport. And the code here would be the passport. You know, if you can't get any entry without a passport, your passport reflects your picture, which is a visual image, and then it usually has numbers or stamps or approval or dates.
Yeah, there's a long series of numbers on passports, and, you know, you can scan it, and there's all kinds of, it's like a hologram over the top of it.
Yeah.
So it can't be copied easily, blah, blah, blah.
So it's all, you know, those are mechanical ways to decode energy, but our chakra systems can decode energy without the use of machines. We are a calculator of sorts, and we have to understand that our chakra systems can be analyzed through interpretation. Every chakra system can interpret the environment according to its location in the body. So if you learn how to now talk, not just talk to trees or talk to the gods or angels, talk to your chakra system. And you'll be amazed at, if you learn how to do it, what kind of information you can derive. And also, not only information derived from the outside world, like your psychic, but also how you put out energy through the same chakra.
Well, yeah.
They go in. They've evolved clockwise and counterclockwise.
Well,
counterclockwise is information coming in. Clockwise is information going out.
And I do want to say that, you know, we have many, 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 many stories of being able to affect energy work on other people. It's just this particular case with the cat is a real tough one. So, but we have so many success stories. We have so many success stories, and this isn't over. So I just, you know, I don't want to leave that on a negative note. Like, you know, I failed or something, because there's been lots of successes working with people and getting them what they want. So,
well, you know, it's also the essence of time. Time is so important to get concerned. And when you think about time, time itself visually has changed. I mean, we used to have a sundial, so that told the time via the sun. Then ultimately, time became circular because most watches were round, most clocks were round, and they didn't really need numbers. You could tell by the minute hand and the second hand and the hour hand what the time it was by visualizing where the numbers were around the circular formation of the clock. Then obviously they put in numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 with representing every 5 minutes. So 1 to 2 would be 5 minutes. No, 5 minutes. So it was every 5 minutes. So 12 to 1 would be 5 minutes. 1 to 2, 10 minutes. 2 to 3, minute hand, 15 minutes. And then, but yet, from 12 to 1, it would be 60 minutes. So it was really weird because you've got to now separate the time zone from the minute hand to the hour hand.
Come here.
The hour hand is going every 5 minutes. The hour hand is going an hour, while the minute hand is going 5 minutes. So we have this idea. We have this idea of how time fluctuates and how it's arranged, not only in its visual formation, being the round clock. Now we have digits. Now we don't even have, now we just have numbers that flash on our screen. There's no clock or watch. It's just a number system. I mean, sometimes the parameters are shaped rectangular or whatever, but basically we lost the concept original formation of time.
We will, and I bet talk to 100 second graders, they probably don't even know how to read a clock, like a round clock.
Yeah, they don't. They don't know how to read a clock. They don't know how to dial a phone.
Yeah, well, I think
there was something where they would they would dial the phone and then hang up, hang up the receiver.
No, what they're doing in public schools is, the other thing is not being able to read cursive writing, and they've done away with it. Now they're bringing it back and requiring students to learn cursive because of the evolution of writing. I think they went to Denelian. I mean, I learned cursive and then Denelian in my new school when I was in third grade. You know what Denelian is? It's like, anyway, it's stupid. And anyway, they're bringing cursive back. Bring it back.
Well, I always got an A in cursive language. You know, I would say fuck and fuck you. I mean, my cursive language always got high marks. I'm a teacher. I saw so many check marks by cursive. But the attitude of time has changed. And now it's numbers with two little dots that flash the seconds.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now on our stream left. 3405.
Yeah, so it's become less of a moving art form, like the clock, this minute hand, the second hand. And what invention made, or what thought pattern made that hour hand smaller and the minute hand longer?
Okay, wonderful.
In the form of like an arrow, and they're calling it a hand. You know, going around and around and separating the 5 minutes by four intermediate little lines until you hit that first 5 minutes is represented by 2, 10 minutes is represented by 3. So it's rather complicated.
This is fascinating.
When you think about it. But we're dealing with numbers. No, it is fascinating because you said my phone number is, so when you look at a watch, or a clock, you have all different sets of numbers, and they all mean something else. So a 3 could mean 15 minutes, or it could mean 3 hours.
Well, on my clock.
So when we're looking at all these different arrangements of what one solid number means when you combine it with the minute and hour hand, then you say, well, I'm going to work out a phone number. Well,
phone numbers
hold energies just like a clock does, just like time does. And they're all connected to a certain amount of the code within your energy. So, yeah, it is. If nothing else, it's entertaining to analyze your phone number.
See, yeah, it is. And actually, I've analyzed my past phone numbers, and they all had energies within our codes hold from the time that the earliest phone number I remember. The other thing I was going to say is digital time. Digital time, what am I talking about? Military time. Military time. That's what I have on my phone. So I go by military time on my phone.
Yeah,
and all of my devices, my laptop. Yeah, which is 1 o'clock.
Yeah. So
I don't know why, but I like it.
Not 13, but 1300.
1300, yeah.
So, you know, there's 24, and then you go, someone who doesn't know about the Earth, go, well, 1300. How many hours is that? Well, it's actually 13 hours. Why call it 1300? So the idea that numbers start to have multiple meanings, literally and figuratively speaking. Chakra systems are, by theory, they're round. They're round, and they're kind of spiral, and they rotate. And so, much like a clock, you could look at a chakra system like a time scale.
We talked about this before. I mean, of course we talk about chakras, but it's reminding me of a conversation we've had about chakras, because you're saying, well, chakras normally look round. And then once on the show, we got into a long discussion about the chakra system being damaged, and that the chakra system itself cannot be damaged. It's always intact. It's the theme of the chakra system that can be damaged, the theme associated with the chakra itself. So it's not, the chakras are constant.
Well, you know, I mean, when you
have a caller.
It's true. And when you think about it, the chakra system,
so it's a misnomer. It's a misnomer.
Your clock can stop, but it doesn't mean the rotation of the sun's going to stop. So the time, our time frame is sort of artificial. It's a measurement of the rotation of the sun and the moon. But actually, if your clock stops, or your watch stops, the rotation of the planet is not going to stop. So the hour just is a recording. It has nothing to do really with the power of the universe, just as we are overruled by the power of the universe. And before we get to our caller, our
614, we're
going to
bring you on just a minute.
Our chakra systems change within themselves during the hours of the day. Your chakra system is not going to be the same energy field at 2 o'clock in the morning as it is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Your chakra systems change within during any hour of the day.
Right, but as far not to confuse people, yes, the energy of the chakra systems can change and do change, but as far as them being intact, the chakra systems don't, you know, people say, oh, you have a damaged chakra. That's kind of a misclassification. The chakra itself isn't damaged. It's the theme of the chakra that has the problem of damage.
That's what you're putting into it.
Right. Okay, so let's bring on 614. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Filson. I don't know if
you remember. Oh, hi, Filson. Yeah, I remember. We remember you. Hi. Give us your birthday again. I think she's like a 31-4, but let's see if my memory.
April. 1994.
Let's see what. FILSAM. 31-4.
Yes.
I remembered. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. So you're how old are you? FILSAM. You're gonna be 30 this year, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You're going to be 30. So you're still in karma. I mean, I mean, we're always in karma throughout our lives, but you're in the more fixed state of karma, in a more fixed state of karma until the age of 31. So that's when you're going to have a big change. Today, what's your question?
What? The question would be, I'm starting I've already started a massage therapy program certification. I was just wondering how that might progress.
How that might progress? When do you start?
I already started. I'm in it currently. I think I'm going to finish around December.
Oh, you started it already. When did you start then? When did you start?
August of last year.
You started in August of last year. So you're not wondering really about the program. You're wondering about how your career is going to be. I mean, you're in the program, right? So, and the program's going well?
Yeah, it's going well.
Well, you know, this is the thing. There's a nine-month window. There's a nine-month window of change that occurs with when you have your karmic change. So you'll be 30 in December, but you're approaching your 31st birthday. So you'll be graduating. This is a major change. You'll be graduating from massage school and approaching a new career at that time. So that's all within 6 months of your birthday, or 5 months, December graduation. And your birthday is in May. So I think you're going to be successful. I mean, the timing,
massage school,
I think you'll be successful. Do you plan to, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do as a massage therapist. You can work independently. You can work for a business and they take a cut of what you make. Do you have, I mean, do you want your own business? Do you want to work for somebody else? I'm thinking own business, but go ahead. Respond.
I was going to, I think I'm going to just try working for somebody else and then kind of see how that goes. And if I want to own my own business, then do that. But I definitely want to at least have a side hustle where I'm doing it on my own.
So you'll work for someone else, but still do it on the side on your own?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm kind of thinking. Until, like, I'm not sure. Maybe at one point I'll decide to do it on my own completely.
Totally, yeah. Well, I see you doing it on your own. Whether you work for a company while you're doing it or not isn't the point. I do see you doing it on your own, and I think you're going to like, if you're able, you know, you work for a place and you don't have the flexibility that you would have having your own business, making your own hours, taking 100% of the profits and being able to apply it to whatever you need to build your business, but, or maintain your business. But, I mean, I think that's a good plan because working for someone else, you're going to get into the feeling of what it's like to do this type of work. I mean, it's hard work, massage therapy. It's very hard on your body. So you'll get into that rhythm of what it feels like to do that type of work. And then, you know, on a regular basis, a full-time basis, and then perhaps you can build your clientele on the side so you don't need to work for a company. and, you know, incorporate your own techniques that make your massage therapy unique. A lot of people do that. I don't know if they're, I mean, because you're learning basics and, you know, different types of massage, but people will also do energy work in massage therapy. So, you know, we're talking about chakras today. They probably don't teach you about chakras. Do they talk about chakras in massage school?
No, they don't.
They don't. So, I mean, you know, you could start to learn about the chakra system and how to work with the chakra system and then have a more, you know, more of a metaphysical approach to massage therapy, maybe not where you're working in the, you know, for the business that you're working for, but for your own business and for your own clientele, to make your, you know, find something to make yourself stand out so you're able to build clientele. I had a wonderful massage therapist, like the best ever, the best. She had the most gentle touch and, you know, she did Reiki. I mean, that's so common these days. In those days, it wasn't as common and widespread. But I mean, she was really an amazing massage therapist. Totally wonderful. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, in the healing arts, not just, you know, like the healing arts as you're learning them in school. So I don't know. What does that sound like to you?
That sounds good. I was already planning on doing that and like adding some kind of metaphysical component, because that's something I also have interest in.
See, what I tell someone, when we look at your code.
Yes, I should be doing that.
When we look at your
just
code,
talking.
Five can be a very physical number for a female. It's a throat communication chakra. But the way that five is converted to the feminine energy, it becomes very physical. And that's where, so this is coming from a past life. One is the root system. So the physicality of the root system would suggest that you understand the muscular structure of the body. Because the muscles
that's
are very much. Huh?
You said I have a, like, that's in my code, like I have a five, you said?
Five is the throat chakra. Five is the throat chakra. And so it's in your birth date, five. And women with five have physical energy, very physical energy. You're not a five. Actually, if you come back, you're going to be a five.
So what you're doing, see that five, that
kind
physical
of
energy, and basically massage therapists mainly deal with the muscular structure of the body. So you're dealing with the muscular structure of the body, starting with the root chakra, the feet. And then what happens is your code goes to a two, which means you'll probably be doing massage therapists on pregnant women, you know, who are in pain, who are hurting. So you'll probably be going through that energy. 5-1-2 becomes an eight. Which means that you probably will have your own business at large. And then what happens is you have a 9 and a 4 and your master number is 4. So what your theme should be is, I do massage therapy to balance the entire muscular structure of the body to bring about balance. So that not one particular muscle is taking on the burden of all the pain. Usually when we have acute pain, it's usually centered in one muscle. So all the energy and all the nerves are radiating to that muscle, and maybe it's due to some strenuous activity or some accident. But what happens is the massage therapist will take the intensity of that muscle and move the energy out of it, so that the rest of the body can take on some of the load. It's like you're not, you know, you have a big, big, giant suitcase and you have four other people to help you carry it. And you're not breaking your back or sliding it along the dirt.
Yeah.
So your energy, and what happens is your energy of balance is arranged by odd numbers, 31. So you're taking the energy of oddness, meaning the body's not balanced, and you're restoring balance. That's your code.
But you can go even deeper in this, not just restoring the muscles to balance, but, you know, getting into the person's psyche. I mean, in massage therapy, it's very, you know, it's very important that the client feels bonded to the person that is working on their body. And there have been so many times where I personally have had massage therapists that have been, it's not been a good fit. It's not been a good fit. And so a really good massage therapist is going to be able to get into a person's energy field, bond with the person, and not only balance their body, but balance their psyche, because your muscles hold energy and the emotions that you've, you know, experienced during the week or the day or whatever time frame it is that you've gone through since last seeing your massage therapist. So there's an emotional component to it as well. And a good massage, I have a list. A good massage therapist is going to be in tune with that aspect of a client's, you know, energy. It's not just body work. It involves their thoughts and feelings as well. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I definitely feel that way. Like when I get a massage, I also feel not only more physically balanced, but also emotionally balanced.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes people don't want to talk during the process, but like I said, a good massage therapist is going to work through those feelings, whether it's through talk, you know, communication with the client, or if the client's silent and they're just doing a great job on the body work, then they're going to help to release a lot of that pent up emotion, energy, etc. So, but we see good things owning your own business and, you know, find something that can make yourself unique.
Yeah. And when you mentioned like pregnant women, I actually thought of that before. I think I would like to do that.
Well, it's in your code and you know, that could be a specialty of yours. So a way to market yourself. So I think that was a really good suggestion Neil made.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. Have a great 2024. Because last time I spoke with you was last year, I think.
Yeah. Well, the world keeps turning. As the world turns, you probably don't even know that soap opera. You're too young. Okay, Philson, good luck. Let us know what happens.
Okay, well, thank you, guys.
Bye. Okay.
You're going to call her?
Dion's back, yeah.
Hi.
Hey. How
Sorry
are
about
you?
That earlier.
That's okay.
Well, okay, so yesterday we had our community meeting, and basically, they were accusing me of taking things off this one lady's door and notes off the community bulletin board, and I never did that, okay? And so what happened was is Kathy posted some bulletin notice about some lady who was in the hospital on all of the boards. I did voice my opinion about it to her and said that I didn't think it was appropriate because it was saying that she was having heart surgery and she was in the heart hospital and she wasn't home. And there was a lot of packages that were being taken at that time in the lobby. So I was like, you're kind of telling everybody that she's not home when you know that we're having a problem with people stealing packages. And that's also her private information that you're posting on the community bulletin board. But I never took the notices down. So
right.
Then this but everybody thought that it was me because she was telling people it was me. So then I was telling people, I just want to let you know I did not do that, I would not do that, blah, blah, blah. This morning I saw Kathy out in the parking lot, and I said to her, I said, I just want to let you know I did not touch Little Debbie's door, never took the card, never took it off the bulletin board. And she said, yes, you did. I saw you do it. And I said, no, you're lying. You're going around telling people I did something I didn't do. And then she left. She, like, ran off, okay? Then I went outside to the gazebo, and Julie, Kathy, and Ron were sitting there. And basically what happened was is they said that all three of them have reported me to the office to get me kicked out of here, and that I was jumping Julie in the gazebo. So I whipped out my phone and I started my video, because that never happened. And I asked Julie, I said, Julie, did I jump you out in the gazebo? And she said, no, but you did say something to me. I go, were we having a conversation? Was I talking to you? And she said, yes. And I go, so I never jumped you. And she said, no, you never jumped me. We were having a conversation. And then I got up and walked away. And so then your show came on, and I had to be put on. I was in the middle of dealing with everything. And so then the next thing you know, the manager, the property manager, shows up and basically said that nobody deserves to be harassed around here. And if anybody has a complaint, they needed to write it down and take it up with the office, and that she was going to start writing up lease violations. So basically, Kathy, Ron, and Julie all admitted that they tried to get me kicked out of here for things that I didn't do.
Well, I think that you need to file a complaint with the office.
Okay, right now?
Yeah, I mean, don't you think? I mean, I think you need to file a complaint and say, listen, I've been harassed here. I've been accused of things that I'm not doing. And I'm allowed as a resident to express what I think is appropriate to put on a bulletin board. And I agree with you. Putting someone's personal information about their health is totally out of line on a bulletin board. And considering she's not home, it's leaving her vulnerable to break in. I totally agree. And is she aware that her health information is on a bulletin board? That's like a HIPAA violation.
Don't know.
I don't think, I mean,
That's
it's a HIPAA violation. She could get, that facility could get in big trouble for that. And you should mention it to the facility. Say there's notes about what, I don't know what the name of the person is. There's notes about her health on a bulletin board, and because this is, I mean, isn't it funded, your facility funded by the government?
Yes.
That they're putting personal information on a bulletin board could get them in big trouble. Big trouble. I don't think that's a good idea at all. So I don't think the office is going to like that. But yes, I would definitely complain. And you were smart to take out your phone, Dion. I don't know why these people have a problem with you. Is it just these basic three?
Well, it's Kathy and Ron, because Kathy got caught stealing the money out of the community fund.
Right. She was mad at you before then. She was mad at you. She didn't like you before then. I remember.
Because I don't want to go along with them running the community like it's a prison camp.
Yeah, I agree. So she didn't like, so it's Kathy and Ron, but then there's Bonnie? Why did I write down Bonnie?
No, Julie. They tried to rope Julie in, and then I got Julie on videotape admitting that that wasn't true. And they were actually yelling at me.
Who's Bonnie? Who's Bonnie?
I don't know Bonnie.
Did you ever
know
Bonnie?
Bonnie?
Never?
No.
Okay, I don't know why I wrote down Bonnie. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. Neil, you want to weigh in on this? I think she needs to report this, and I think she needs to report the medical information being on a bulletin board when the person's out of town in the hospital. Not, you know, she's not in her home, and it's on a bulletin board. This resident is away with a heart condition.
Yeah, I think you it's a good idea to report it and to let an objective party look at it, who is in control. And, you know, you have some rivalry kind of tribal thing going on there, but
yeah.
I don't think that it's mandate you have to leave or anything.
No.
You just, you know, basically followed the procedures and reported accordingly and, you know, don't get too dramatic because that's a reflection of your personality. So you don't want to give any ideas that you get out of hand. So just remain calm, but things should be okay. You know, you can have a bad neighbor no matter where you go. You don't have to live in a community like you do. You can live in your own home and have a bad neighbor. So the idea that this is because of this place you're in and you're having problems, I think is just kind of typical. These things happen. And it sounds like a lot of these people are troublemakers anyway.
They're troublemakers. But you want to make a complaint to just, you know, and make sure you're defending yourself. And I think they're jealous of you. You're younger and you're the new person and you're living there kind of, you know, it's bending the rules because it's a retirement community, but because of your disability,
it's
it allows
not anymore.
What?
It's not anymore. It's open to everybody. The owner changed the laws back in June. I didn't know that. I just found out.
Oh, interesting. But see, they're used to a certain standard. They're used to that
mm-hmm.
standard of being a retirement community. So they're like, you know, insular. They don't like outsiders, and that's what you are to them, these people that are giving you a hard time. But make a complaint. We got to take another call. Make a complaint.
Okay, I'll go right
make,
now.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're okay. Welcome. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, 916, hi.
Hi, I was just listening to the Andy show today. Thank you.
Oh, you don't want to talk? Okay.
No,
all right.
Not today.
Okay. Hold on, let me just see if Dion wants anything else. Do you need anything else, Dion?
No, what do I make the complaint under?
What do you mean?
Like harassment?
Well, just say you've been harassed for a period of time by these people and say, you know, I'm being accused of something I'm not doing. But in addition, there's personal information being posted about one of the residents that includes her health information, which I think is dangerous to the community and dangerous to her because she's not
mm-hmm.
occupying her home right now. And that means that if anyone walks through these halls that doesn't live here, they know that she's out of town and can break in. Plus, it's her personal health information being posted on a bulletin board, which is a violation of HIPAA. Did she consent
okay.
to that? Yeah. And I would
not
say, you
I'm
know,
aware.
Never took it down, but this is what's going on. You know, there needs to be more control. I mean, you know, your complex is weird because they were taking Valentine's decorations off your door, which I thought was ridiculous. I mean, give me a break. But the other things that go on get passed. I don't know. I don't, you know, the problem is management too. I don't know if there's anyone there that is more receptive than someone else, but the most receptive person is who I'd make the complaint to.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck. Well, we're done for the day. I think I'm back on the air. I don't know when we want to do the show on Wednesday. We'll decide TBA 10, 11, maybe 9, who knows. So keep in touch with us and we'll post our show soon. Have a good weekend. And remember to set your clocks forward. Bye.